Welcome to Basic Gospel. We're here daily at this time to bring the basic gospel into your life. It's relevant, personal, and essential. Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And our purpose every weekday is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, live it. We invite your calls right now at 1-800-677-9377. It's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. Again, 1-800-677-9377. We invite your calls right now. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The basic gospel, we've been saying this almost every single day, is this: Jesus Christ is alive. All of Christianity hinges on the fact that he was raised from the dead. Apart from his resurrection, there is no faith, there is no hope, there is absolutely nothing. There's no Christianity. But the fact that he is alive means that we have everything in him. And one of the other aspects of the fact that he is alive is that he does something for us that we just could never do on our own, and that's figure out God. I mean, we could get everybody in a room together and we could ask the question, what's God like? And we could put our minds together and we would come up with a description, but it would be so far away from what God is really like. Well, the only way we know what God is like is because Jesus has made him known to us. I mean, that's part of his job. That's part of the reason that he came. That's why he's alive today, to make the Father known to each and every one of us. And so today, that's our subject. As you were growing up, what did you think about God? What was your idea about God? If someone were to ask you to describe God, what would you have said? And how has that changed once you've come to know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I guarantee you it's changed 180 degrees. So what is God like? How did you describe him before knowing Christ? We would love to hear your thoughts on that. 1-800-677-9377 is the number, and we're doing this in honor of Father's Day that's coming up on Sunday. We certainly want to give a shout-out to all the fathers who are listening, saying thank you for the wonderful role that you've played in the lives of those that God has entrusted to your care. We pray that you've been able to encourage your children, to comfort them, and to urge them to live a life that is worthy of this great gospel message that we have in Christ Jesus.
And Bob, there's just, I don't think there's anything quite like knowing that your children and then now your grandchildren are all in Christ. All of them are secure in him. And so, to me, their greatest pleasure of life is knowing that.
Yes, indeed.
As a dad and a grandfather. I think that's true for you and for Richard as well.
Yes.
Plenty of open lines, friends. If you'd like to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel, why, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call all across the country, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are open, and we await your call. Guys, a question from David. He says, in regard to Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, I understand that this is written to the Hebrews who were well-versed in the law and now are hearing about Christ and his ultimate sacrifice for all men. They tasted of the heavenly gift, but did not partake of it. But in verse 4 it says, have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit. How do we rightly understand and explain partakers of the Holy Spirit?
Great question, and I think we have to really look at this and realize that this particular passage, Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, is a warning passage to those who have never come to Christ by faith. So it is directed to people who are sitting on the fence, who are right at the edge. They've heard the gospel message. They've seen the goodness of the Lord. They've seen it in the lives of others. They've maybe even participated in the fact that they're associated with believers, but they have never come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so it's a warning to them that if they reject, if they, you know, do all the research, they do the due diligence as far as the gospel message is concerned, they look at the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, what it means to them, and then when they reject it and go back to their old way of life, and this particular book, Hebrews, is written to the people of Israel, so they would be going back to the old sacrificial system, God is saying to them, men, be warned, because it's impossible to renew you back to repentance if you reject Christ and think the only way to God is through those old sacrificial through that old sacrificial system.
Yeah, it's interesting that he doesn't say it is impossible for Joe and Sam and Mary. He just says for any of you. He's not judging individual people. He's issuing a warning to make this you're calling an election sure, as he describes over, I think it's in chapter 2. You know, the constant tension for any pastor is looking out at the group of people who happen to be attending and knowing who's saved and who's not. You can't judge, because that's God's business, so we continually give the same message. Come to Jesus, nail it down, be convinced, and leave that old thinking behind.
Absolutely. So the point of this, one, if you're a believer, you cannot lose your salvation.
Absolutely.
It is so secure. It is the most secure thing that you will ever experience in life. You may have all the money in the world, but there is no security there. You do have security in Christ. Your salvation is guaranteed. He saves you completely. So if you're struggling with that, if that's an issue that is of concern to you, know that this passage does not teach that you can lose salvation. Jesus took away your sins once and for all. There is nothing that stands between you and God. Once you come to him by faith, you're made alive together with Christ, and his sacrifice on the cross guarantees that that's eternal. That's why the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus Christ saves completely.
Yes.
You are completely saved. So drive the stake, you know, come to that point and realize that you are secure forever. If you're sitting on the fence, there is only one way to be saved, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. There's lots of religions out there, lots of philosophies out there, lots of promises that the world makes to you, but none of those things can deliver. You can go in that direction, and you can get as far as that path will take you, and at the end of that path, you will be as empty there as you were when you first started, and you will wonder, where now? Where do I turn now? What's next? There's only one place to go. There's only one person to turn to, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. This is Basic Gospel, and we await your phone calls at 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open, and that's why we're here every day to address your calls. And so go ahead and get online right now, 1-800-677-9377. A reminder, too, friends, that during the month of June at Basic Gospel, we have a CD to aid your growth and understanding in what you hear every day on this broadcast. It's a message called The Basic Gospel Journey, and it's yours absolutely free, our gift to you. So please go online to basicgospel.net and click the prominent link, and we'll get one on the way to you. And again, open lines, 1-800-677-9377. A question from Jim says, I read a book a while back that raised a question about the new covenant and the church, the body of Christ. I was wondering if you could tell which view is biblical. He basically says there are three main views about the new covenant and its relationship to the church today, the body of Christ. View number one, the church has no relationship to the new covenant. Number two, the church has an indirect relationship to the new covenant and receives certain spiritual gifts from it. And three, the church has a direct relationship to the new covenant. Would you please share which position is right and why?
Well, it's a great question.
Sounds like a school question.
Yeah, it sounds like a school question. You know, as you read the Bible, you notice first and foremost that it is divided between an old covenant and a new covenant. Well, within the confines of that Old Testament, there is the old covenant between God and the nation of Israel. And in that old covenant, there are promises concerning a new covenant. Well, when Jesus died on the cross, his blood ratified this new covenant, and it's this new covenant that's in effect today. It's this new covenant that we live in today. We're not old covenant believers, we're new covenant believers. And the Apostle Paul was the one who took the message of the new covenant out to the Gentile world, out to the church, so to speak. I love in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And if you've never read this particular chapter, I encourage you to go in and read it as quickly as possible. Read it over and over and over again. There is just an amazing truth that Paul lays out in this particular chapter, and it's all about the new covenant. And so he says, "So such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God, and he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant." So when Paul went out to the Gentile world, what was he ministering to the Gentile world? This new covenant. And here's the reason: not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Paul went out, gave the message of Christ, this new covenant message, so that those who believed would be made alive. That's what this new covenant is all about. It's all about life. That's why it's attached to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because he lives, we live. And that's what this new covenant is all about. So we have a direct relationship with the new covenant. We live in the new covenant. The new covenant is for us. And as we say here at Basic Gospel, we are new covenant. That's exciting, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the great thing about it is this isn't just for Gentiles. You know, suddenly the Jews didn't get left out. Everybody, absolutely everybody. There's not two gospels. There's not two covenants. One gospel, one Jesus, one covenant. It's the new covenant.
Yes, indeed. And that's what we talk about on our special gift for this month, the Basic Gospel Journey. Mm-hmm. If you want to know more about this new covenant and what it means to you in your day-to-day life, get a hold of this. You can call 1-800-727-2828 right now. Talk with Billy. Ask her to send you a copy of this CD. I think it'll be a real blessing in your life.
Absolutely. Billy wants to hear from you right now.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to New York and talk to Frank, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Frank.
Thank you, gentlemen. God bless you.
Well, thank you.
I was a little confused about what you were saying before. I think maybe it's my problem, but I think you guys may be confusing the assurance of salvation with eternal security. They're two different things.
Well, eternal security is guaranteed because of Christ Jesus. We can have assurance of salvation when we know that our salvation is eternally secure.
Yes. Well, there's several problems, gentlemen. Let me explain.
Let me ask you a question, Frank. Do you believe that we are eternally secure, or do you believe we can lose salvation?
No, you absolutely can lose your salvation. Let me explain why.
Well, no, Frank, we're not going to. We don't want to hear that explanation, because that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we are eternally secure, and it gets down to this very issue of what is salvation. Salvation is not just forgiveness of sins. Salvation isn't, you know, I've done this for you, now you go and mind your P's and Q's, and at the end of your life, we'll just see if you've made it or if you haven't. Jesus Christ guarantees our salvation, and our salvation is this. It is when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, he takes us from death to life. That was our greatest need. We were dead in sin. That's the consequence of sin. That's what we've been saved from. We've been saved from the law of sin and death by the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So we've been made alive together with Christ, and we can never go back to death. So to lose salvation would be to die eternally. Well, Jesus's death on the cross guarantees that that's not going to happen. He said he will never leave us nor forsake us. I'm going to believe that. I've heard all the arguments about losing salvation. I certainly grew up in a church environment where that was the doctrine, and I just think the scripture is abundantly clear that once we're in Christ forever. Now, does that mean we're going to go out and sin like the devil? Absolutely not, because Jesus Christ has come to live inside of us. That is the good news of the gospel. So, Frank, thanks for your call today. Let's go to New York and talk with Lynn, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. This is kind of following up on what Frank just said. I always believed and do believe that once saved, always saved. But I listened to this TV show, and the pastor said that if you the last thing you do on earth is commit suicide, that's against the Ten Commandments. You're killing. And my husband had a nervous breakdown. He was a state trooper, and he committed suicide. He was saved, but he committed suicide because he figured there was no way out of what he was in. And I've been worried for years now because I was raised in a church where if you commit suicide, you go to hell.
Well, Lynn, let me jump in and let me see if we can help you with this. So if the last thing you did was commit suicide, that theology would say you're not saved. Well, what if you went outside, you were taking a little walk, and your neighbor drives up in a brand new car, and you start coveting that car, and right when you do, you have a heart attack and die?
Yeah.
That person's theology would say, well, because that person coveted, that was the very last thing that he did before he died, then that person couldn't be saved.
Oh, my gosh, I never thought of that.
Isn't that right?
Yes, okay. Yes, of course.
All right, so what has Jesus done with sin? Didn't he deal with it once and for all?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it says if we're in Christ, there is no condemnation. None whatsoever. Why? Because the punishment that suicide or coveting or stealing or adultery brought to us, Jesus took.
Yes.
That's good news, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I've worried about it for years because of that pastor saying that, you know, the last act on earth was killing, even though it was suicide, you know? And because of how I was raised, that you commit suicide, you go to hell, you know? But you explained it completely.
Well, I'm glad we could help you, Lynn. And I know that's been a burden on your shoulders. And truth sets you free. And thank God there's truth that we can know and experience. And when we do, we can experience that freedom. And I'm so thankful that that burden has been lifted off your shoulders.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you in your show. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Lynn. Let me put you on hold, and let's find out a little bit more about you, and let's send some resources to you that I think can be a big help to you, okay?
Thank you so much, dear.
Okay, you hold the line, Lynn.
Okay.
One of the primary reasons this program is on the air is to refute the error that puts so many people in that kind of bondage.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. The story, the gospel story, is all about Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection. We make it a terrible story when we put ourselves into the mix. When we say, well, Jesus did this, and now we have to do all of this other stuff. Well, that's not a good story at all, because at that point, all we're worried about is what we do, and we lose sight of what Christ has
done.
Worse
than that, it says that everything Jesus did was pointless.
Absolutely.
He's not God. He's not the Savior. He's nothing.
But this good news is all about him. He's the Savior that came into this world to save us from the law of sin and death. And guess what? If you're in Christ, that's exactly what he's done. Rest in it. Have the assurance that good news brings to the heart. And boy, when you do, those burdens are lifted. Yeah. And man, you can just experience freedom. So we are so glad that Lynn called in today and that this good news could help her.
Set her free, absolutely.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Jean in Clifton, New Jersey. Hi, Jean.
Hi. Again, I want to follow up on what they're talking about, eternal security. My bishop said that he doesn't believe in eternal security because if you accept the Lord and then if you backslide and you go and do all kinds of sin, have sex, you know, fornicate and all this kind of stuff, I mean, will you still be saved at the end?
Well, Gene, let me ask you, if that's the case, if we could lose salvation, do you think there's a single person that's ever lived that would have salvation if we could lose it?
Well, yeah, you would want to live a holy life so you don't lose it, so you can.
Well, who's lived that to perfection, and how holy do you have to be? I mean, it gets down
to
the
God
point.
Well, God says to be perfect, for I am perfect.
Okay, so
we're striving for holiness. We're striving to be perfect.
Okay, you're striving there, but are you getting there through human effort?
It's a growing process. It's God growing in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But I'm saying, you know, you can't, when you accept the Lord, you have to be obedient to God. You can't say, well, I'm saved and I'm okay with God, but I'll go out and have relationships.
Well, Gene, the whole point of this.
Have adultery. I mean, it says adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Well, Gene, he's talking about the lost are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the lost world does. I mean, the lost people live to gratify the desires of the flesh.
But you could be saved and accept the Lord and then get angry with God and say, well, he didn't answer my prayer and I'm going to do this and that.
Well, Gene, you've just described every single human being on the planet. Everybody gets mad at the Lord because of life circumstances. I mean, that's just who we are as people. And we live in this world and we have flesh inside of us, and this flesh has sin inside of it. And we give in to temptations. I'm sure you've given in to temptations. I've given in to temptations. That's just part of being human. But God is so much bigger than the things that we do or don't do that he's able to take us exactly where he wants to take us. And that's to conform us into the image of his son. That's his job. And as we trust, we will see that happening. Even though we will get out in the weeds and we will do things that aren't in line with what the Word of God would have us to do or what the Lord would have us to do, the Lord's bigger than that, and He can lead us. And what frees us to trust and abide in Him is knowing that we are secure, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's what the Bible says. Do we believe it or do we not? The Bible says that our sins have been forgiven. Do we believe it or do we not? The Bible says that we've been called children of God. And the world doesn't know what we're like, but when Jesus Christ comes, we're going to be revealed with him. Do we believe that or do we not? And that's what this eternal security is all about. It is bringing us to this point that we truly say that we believe what the Word of God says. We believe what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. We believe that Jesus Christ is alive, living inside of us, and that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That is the good news of the gospel, and I think that's what God calls us to teach and proclaim. And if we will grab hold of it, we will see these lives of ours start to change in dramatic fashion. Well, Gene, let me do this. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this CD, Basic Gospel Journey. Listen through that and then call us back, will you?
Pretty dramatic contrast between the last two calls, wouldn't you agree?
I think so. Well, this is such an important issue. And as you can see, you know, we're all over the place with whether we're eternally secure or not. But I think the Bible is very clear, and if we'll just open up our hearts and minds and let the Spirit of God teach us what the Bible has to say, we'll come to that point and we'll rest firmly in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Well, friends at Basic Gospel, we're excited to be journeying with you in the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, everyone is on a journey, and we hope that you know where your journey is taking you. But this is your invitation to take a journey to life and freedom, a journey that begins and ends with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have been confused about the direction of your life, the truth of this message will give you a clear path and set you on the adventure of a lifetime. It's a CD message called The Basic Gospel Journey, and it's our gift to you during the month of June. Just click the Gift for You link at basicgospelnet.net and call 1-800-727-2828 and talk to our operator, Billy. Again, that's basicgospel.net or by phone at 1-800-727-2828. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us at the same time tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.